Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's the Believe in NBA Prospects podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your gracious host, Rob Bruin, coming to you live and direct from Long Island, New York, along with my good brother, T. Rose, coming to you from Syracuse, New York. What's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. We're back. We were out all last week, and now we're back. And since being out, we knew we had to come correct on this Monday. So we have a very, very special guest that I'll let you introduce to the show today.
Absolutely, man. We got the big time journalist in the building. He's been in the game since he was like 12 or 13, I would say. And the senior writer over at heavy.com, Brandon Scoop B. Robinson. Talk to me, brother. How you doing?
Man, I'm maintaining. Thank you for having me, man. Good to see you guys.
Absolutely, man. We've been waiting for this for a little minute too, so we're definitely glad to have you.
For sure. For sure. All
right, man. Let's get straight to it. Just to give you guys a quick rundown, five-star recruit Kennedy Chandler commits to Tennessee. Masterpiece son Hersey Miller is definitely bowling on the high school circuit and is being looked at by so many other different schools. The NBA playoffs begin today. Kobe Bryant is officially a day in California, and so many more topics we'll be bringing forth so far. So, Scoop, tell us, man. We know you had a conversation with Stephon Marbury, and he has some heavy thoughts on thinking that Dame Lillard should be in the MVP talk. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Steph posted on Instagram early Sunday morning. He's in China, so he posted in the afternoon around his time that Damian Lillard is the NBA's MVP, but you guys aren't going to talk about that. So I jumped in his comments and said, oh, here to elaborate a little more. I sent him a text message and said, you really feel that way, huh? He said, yeah, man, this is a conversation that, you know, it's not really talked about much. But really and truly, you know, Damian Lillard is he's too real for a lot of NBA fans, so they don't give him his just due. That's his thought process. And he thinks that because he's too real and because, you know, he doesn't fit certain agendas, he's not looked at in the same light, you know. So those are his thoughts. And I told him I think he plays like, and he goes, nah, man, you know, Damian Lillard is one of one. And, you know, he loves Damian Lillard's game. And, you know, to me, Stephon was a scoring guard.
Yeah, he was nice coming out of Brooklyn. Yeah,
he was.
He was in the Iverson era.
Yeah, same draft class, 96.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me this, though. Do you really feel, though, like his demographic? Because we know in the NBA it's a marketing thing as well. He's in Portland. So that kind of, I believe, has a little bit of something to do with that as well, too.
Well, yeah, that's just like I had stuff on the Scoopy Radio podcast back in April, and, you know, he discussed how he didn't like playing in Minnesota because there wasn't a lot of black people there, you know, in the sense of, you know, he's from Brooklyn, played at Lincoln High School, then went over to Georgia Tech. And then coming to Minnesota, it was a different world for him. He ultimately was traded to the New Jersey Nets and, you know, balled it up there for a few years before he was traded for Jason Kidd to the Phoenix Suns. Brooklyn is a hop, skip, and a jump from East Rutherford. So, you know, he lived his best life in that regard. But, you know, when you talk about Damian Lillard in that instance, the guy from Oakland who, you know, one thing Stephon did say to me, you know, in our conversation was that, you know, he's not a fan of the super team era, you know, and he got it from the ground up. And a lot of these players, you know, do play super team. I mean, you look at the Lakers, Anthony Davis and LeBron James would be considered super team. The Warriors with, you know, Kevin Durant and back then with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Draymond Green would be considered a super team. The Cavaliers, the 2016 NBA champ Cleveland Cavaliers will be considered a super team in that regard with, you know, LeBron, Kevin Love, and Kyrie. When you look at the Portland Trail Blazers, you know, you got CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, who came from mid-major schools, who, you know, they are playing with Carmelo Anthony towards the further end of his career than the beginning. So, you know, they're not considered a super team in the NHC. So it's interesting. When I watched that Trailblazers team, however, there was something about it that reminds me of that Philadelphia 76ers team
with AI,
with Allen Iverson, that went to the NBA Finals.
So let me ask you this, Scooby. What do you think it will take for someone of Damian Lillard's caliber? We know how talented he is. We know how gifted he is offensively. And like you said, he is someone that typically keeps it real 99% of the time, if not 100. What do you think it'll take for him to be in the MVP talk? Because his talent is there. Do you think it'll have to be a championship, him going through a different team? What do you think it'll take for him to be in that conversation?
I think it's just under the guard. I think, no pun intended, I think for so many years, people were fascinated and enamored with Steph Curry. And so now people don't realize that Damian Lillard is good, because I think that I think that Steph Curry resonates with a lot more people. Family man, cute kids, married to a pretty wife, there's some other underlying things I keep it clean there, but I think that there's a look that Steph Curry has that maybe Damian Lillard doesn't have, that maybe we recognize a little bit more and appreciate. And I think that even for somebody like Kemba Walker to get respect, I think his last year in Charlotte, people began to turn a page and be like, wow, he's really good. Because I think sometimes guys that are guards like him, like Kemba, and guys like Damian Lillard, and even somebody like Ja Morant, you want to slight him. I think that the slight that Allen Iverson got, they kind of quietly get it in a way that Steph Curry doesn't get. I'm always reminded of Chris Rock. He said this a couple seasons ago. He said that Steph Curry is Allen Iverson with a father in the home.
Mm. Okay. Mm. That's a bar.
That should hit you right between the nose.
I think there's just a level of resonating that people have with Lillard, or with Curry, that they don't have with Lillard. And then the thing is, Steph has championships. I mean, even like with the Kyrie conversation, you know, people were on Twitter the other day talking about, trying to say Damian Lillard was better than Kyrie. Kyrie still has a championship. The equal matching that Damian Lillard and Kyrie have, though, is the fact that they were both rookie of the year. But Kyrie also has a skills challenge MVP. He also has an all-star game MVP. He has a championship. People always like to say, well, Kyrie had, you know, Kyrie team with LeBron. Kyrie had his own thing going on in Cleveland. People forget that before LeBron came around. So when you look at Damian Lillard, I think in order for that MVP to your initial question, in order for people to take Lillard seriously and put him in the MVP conversation, I think a championship and LeBron James not existing would have to be a thing. You know, and I think it kind of starts with perception. You know, at the time of this recording, like if the Blazers found a way to beat the Lakers, there is a conversation, because it's all about perception and media perception.
Yeah,
that's a key thing too. Yeah, and but even like you said, Kyrie was on Cleveland by himself, but they weren't winning.
No, he was a good individual.
They weren't winning. They were getting smacked.
Yeah, he was a good individual player.
Yeah, which is why, to me, I really came up with the notion, what we had spoke about, me and Troy, a couple weeks ago. I think Kyrie, he's a good number two. I don't think he's the number one guy on the team. I don't feel like he carries that load well. Not to take away from his skill set, but I think that sometimes we make the best person on the team the leader, and I don't think he has strong leadership qualities sometimes. At least that I see.
I feel that way about Carmelo Anthony. I feel like...
Yeah, we said that too, yeah.
I'm a superstar. I like Melo. No Melo. As you know, if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I've advocated and pulled for Melo for a while to get back in the NBA. You just spoke with him about it. But at the end of the day, I think when you look at Melo and you look at Chris Paul, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, I don't put Melo
in that conversation
as a superstar, but he's a star. I look, to be honest with you, I feel the same way about Vince Carter.
So you don't think Denver, Carmelo Anthony should be in that conversation? The Knicks, the way he did things at Madison Square Garden, I'm sure you know and or experienced it. You don't think he gets that right?
Superstars win championships.
Okay. But you said Chris Paul. Chris Paul got him. Yeah. I can't put him there.
Chris Paul is championship caliber. Had he gone to the Lakers with Kobe Bryant, he would have won a championship. I think that Chris Paul has made the Oklahoma City Thunder better.
He has.
Okay.
Well, but he's not a winner either.
Until your point, okay, so what if Melo now goes to Detroit? How many championships do they get? Or do they still win the 2004 championship that they won?
What was Darko Milicic doing?
That's true. So how many championships could they get?
Like, what was he doing? Mm-hmm. Remember that he got his ears pierced during the playoffs.
Hey, look, we're not here to assassinate my squad now. I was just asking, what do you think? Because I heard you say if Chris Paul goes to the Lakers, then that gives him the opportunity to, you know, win championships. And I think the same for Melo. If he gets the opportunity to go to Detroit instead of Denver, I think they get multiple championships.
Well, but would they get it off the strength of the play of Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, Rasheed Wallace, and Ben Wallace? Or based off of solely Carmelo Anthony scoring?
I think,
because you know Melo going to stop the ball.
I think someone has to take a back role. So I think maybe someone like a Tayshaun Prince may have to take a back role. I think maybe.
Nah, you can't put Tayshaun Prince at the back.
What Carmelo can bring offensively is very strong, but I do think some of those key elements like a Tayshaun, like a Rip, they were pivotal in that championship.
Because Melo was a rookie, Larry Brown was the coach. And Larry Brown wasn't going to start no rookie anyway.
Mm-hmm. And if that's a valid point.
If you think I'm lying, you asked me about 2004. Look at the Olympics that year, that summer. Asked me about – we talked about Stephon Marbury at the top of the show. Mm-hmm. Marbury, if you watched the documentary that recently came out, Marbury –
yeah, it was fire, by the way, too.
It was fire. Marbury and Larry Brown didn't get along. Marbury would get up extra early just to sit on the team bus so that he would not have to look at Larry Brown.
Yeah.
Larry Brown ended up becoming the head coach of the New York Knicks. So, to your question about Carmelo Anthony, will Carmelo Anthony still won a championship? Hell yeah, because he would have probably sat on the bench as a rookie. Tayshaun Prince, I'll be honest with you. When I watched that series in the finals, I feel like Tayshaun Prince was one of the most underspoken about people.
Yes.
It was always, well, Tayshaun Prince
stopped him.
Well, no, it was always Kobe struggled. It was never Tayshaun Prince stopped him.
Yeah, that's a fact. Meanwhile, he was playing crazy defense with that long wingspan and all of that, and would still give you 20 silently.
Yeah. And the only, and I'll add this, like, you know, I had Kareem Rush, who played on the Lakers, on my podcast.
He was fired too.
And he talked about how, you know, Kobe really wanted to win MVP that year. Shaq had won all those MVPs in the past. He really wanted to do it. I think it was just the time in which Kobe was playing. He had a lot to prove for a lot of legal reasons, got arrested dead. I'm not going to throw salt on his name. But during that time, remember, there was a legal case that was going on. I think that the Lakers were in a situation where they banked on Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Shaq, Kobe, delivering a championship when there was a lot of dysfunction on that team. Karl Malone and Gary Payton were a little bit past their prime, but at the same time, Kobe wanted it, and you can't win by yourself. The Pistons, the antithesis of any of that. Underestimated, Chauncey Billups, a guy who was a blue-collar worker who really didn't get his just due until he won a championship. And we talked about Damian Lillard in that regard, a scoring guard. I remember when Chauncey Billups had hair when he was playing for the Boston Celtics.
That part down the middle?
Had that Marbury part.
Yeah, that was the Marbury part. It was. All right, Scoop, so tell us, you know, obviously the NBA playoffs starts today. We got the Lakers and the Blazers matchup, Jazz and Denver, Rockets, Thunder, Dallas and the Clips, Bucks and the Magic, Pacers and Miami, and Celtics and Philly and the Toronto and the Nets. What team should we look out for, and what key players should we be looking out for?
Couple teams. I think you should be looking out for the Toronto Raptors. They are still the NBA champs. And I think that even without Kawhi Leonard, they're still playing good basketball. You're really seeing Kyle Lowry be Kyle Lowry. And you're seeing Pascal Siakam play good basketball. I often tell people that Pascal reminds me a lot of Scottie Pippen when Michael Jordan retired the first time.
Mm-hmm. And you know, he had to carry it all by himself.
He played in the Eastern Conference semis. They eventually lost to the New York Knicks, and the Knicks went to the 94 finals and would eventually lose to the Houston Rockets. But I know that Scottie Pippen wished he had a team like Pascal Siakam. Scottie didn't have that same support. Tony Kukoc, Steve Kerr, Will Perdue, Phil Jackson was still the head coach. But I like the Toronto Raptors. I think they're a team that's worth examining. The Denver Nuggets, to me, is another team that's worth examining. They're playing now.
Kevin Porter's getting busy.
Michael Porter's getting busy.
I mean, Michael Porter, my bad. Yeah, he's getting busy.
He's been busy. I mean, he's been playing well in the bubble. Anybody not named Devin Booker in the bubble, Michael Porter Jr. has been getting busy. Funny story. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, Michael Porter's been hurt off and on throughout the course of,
you know, since he got drafted. Yeah.
Back in December, I was at the Players Tribune. I was invited to this party in Manhattan, and they had a bunch of gift bags there. Like Darius Miles was there, John Starks was there, Nate Robinson was there, Jerry and Grant was there. The Nuggets were actually in town because they were playing either the Knicks or the Nets that night. So after the game, you know, guys were coming, you know, to the event, and there were gift bags there. I snagged a pair of free AirPods while I was there for my iPhone. But I was trying to get a gift bag, right? I was like, yo, where's my gift bag? Where's my gift bag? A buddy of mine goes in the back. He hands me a bag. The name tag on it says MPJ. The gift bag that I got was from Michael Porter Jr. So I don't know if he ever showed up or what. But the
that's crazy. Damn, he should have showed up.
He's showing up now.
Nah, that's a fact. He mad you stole his bag.
Word.
So I heard you speak on the Nuggets as one of your teams to look forward to in the West. What do you think about the young talent, Bol Bol, on his hype, and do you think he could really help this team move forward in the Western Conference?
You know, it's funny. When I look at Bol Bol, his height, you know, there's such a thing as being too damn tall.
Yeah, he's 7'2", bro.
And when I look at him being so tall reminds me so much of Porzingis. I feel like Porzingis never really grew into his height as of yet. Like, to be so skilled, you can do so many different things. You're like a Swiss Army knife. And so when I look at Bol, I feel like I'm in Philly, the Bol. I look at this situation where he reminds me of Porzingis as far as his height and his gifting. Like, somebody 7'2 is not supposed to be doing 6'7 things, but he's doing it with ease. And I think that's representative of today's game of basketball, where it's more European style. Like, if you remember, like, AAU basketball in the early 2000s, you had wing forward. You didn't have small forward. You have, you know, strong guards. You have lead guards. I think it's different. And I think even when you look at the Denver system, it's predicated for somebody like Bol Bol, because you have Jokic, who's damn near their point guard.
Damn near, because his passing game is crazy.
Crazy. So, you know, you don't really need a point guard in order to really run that system. It's just different. And, you know, that's predicated upon the way that Malone, you know, designed that offense. So, yeah, man, I think Bol Bol, I think, is in a good situation in Denver. That if he was with another coach or another system, I don't know that he would be as Larry Brown wouldn't be able to utilize him in that way in Detroit, Mr. Troy.
Great example.
I think it's a good situation to be in. I think that, you know, they're playing Utah in the first round. I don't think Utah could really utilize his skill set in that way. So they would be using him like Gobert, strictly a rim protector. Okay. You know, like I remember when Andre Blatch played for the Brooklyn Nets and Jason Kidd allowed him to be a free-flowing forward. Dribble behind his back, get to the – it was no shot, no bucket he couldn't get. So I think it's the same thing. I think when you look at Bol Bol, he's basically a freelancer for hire when you're spelling Mason Plumlee in minutes. And, you know, I think it's a good fit.
Appreciate you. And I actually agree. Those are the two teams that you picked were the two teams that I've had on my radar as far as who teams should be looking out for, as far as the Raptors in the East and Denver in the West. And I think what they have with what Toronto has with Kyle Lowry's leadership, OG Adonobi is someone people have to look out for, his defense and how he can get you buckets. Obviously, Siakam, he's coming to a groove and been in the conversation for the last 2 years for most improved player in my eyes. So I think that I'm looking forward to that. And Denver, obviously, what they have with Jamal Murray, Jokic. I'm looking forward to Bol Bol and Michael Porter Jr. So it's going to be an interesting playoff run.
And Miami.
Mm. They look all right. They don't look bad. Tyler Herro's doing all right. He's not doing bad. He's getting busy off the dribble. He is.
And Bam Adebayo.
Yeah. You talked about him getting busy. Sean Paul might have something to say about that because he's stealing his phone and putting it on the
That's
floor.
That's a fact. He is.
I think when you look at what Ben Adebayo, as you mentioned, like in today's game, like he's considered a power forward center. He's definitely a three, like a Rodney Rogers type small forward in the 90s, 2000s NBA game. He'd be a spot up shooter. He's literally, you know, I think Draymond Green is changing the way you look at power forwards and centers.
Yeah. Definitely.
Same way that you look at Charles Barkley in that regard.
Look, he thirsty to flap that Michigan State jersey. He thirsty. Look,
they creates legends. You look at Mateen Cleaves. You look at just what they've been able to do. Morris Peterson. Shout out to those Flint guys, man. I talked to Mateen like a couple weeks ago, man. Mateen is good people.
Yeah, he is. I've had the opportunity to conversate with him. He actually comes out every year and shows support for my uncle's golf outing. So he's a real good guy, and I love what Michigan State brings to the culture of sports. I just hope that the Big Ten can just get things back in order. I saw Justin Fields petitioning, so hopefully we'll be able to get things back going for football and basketball.
So are you Detroit-based or Flint-based?
So I'm from Detroit. I'm from Detroit, okay. Michigan, the West Side. Right now I'm in Syracuse. I'm up here at school, but yeah, I'm from Detroit.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I know people from Flint. But I always, you know, that I've been in the state of Michigan once. I went there actually in the fall. I went to go see Clarissa Shields was supposed to fight, and then that fight happened before the fight. And I had a good time in Flint. So yeah, I rock with a lot of people from Flint, man. But Michigan as a whole, it's a good place.
Yeah, Flint, Saginaw, obviously Detroit. Yeah, we got some cool little cities, but you definitely got to make sure you're watching your surroundings at times around there.
I don't roll around other cities without my people.
Exactly.
That's a fact.
He knows some.
You better be safe out here.
It's he knows some.
Before we leave that topic, Scoop, I need you to tell me about James Harden. He's like the exhibition. He does it in the regular season. What can we really look for him to do? Because, I mean, he gets to the playoffs, and there's a lot of different times where he fades away at big moments. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's an elite talent. He can score the ball, average 38 points. That's nice. That's great. You got MVP. But what can he really do to get to the next level?
Win. And I think if, you know, when you look at the Rockets over the last couple of years, you know, every year, like, I remember – it was my birthday last year, so May in 2019, I had reported that, you know, the Rockets were looking to move everybody except PJ Tucker and James Harden. And they moved Chris Paul, you know, to the Oklahoma City Thunder in exchange for.
You got the Rockets winning if Chris Paul's healthy?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Scoop. You serious? Why? I don't get that. Why?
I think that the Rockets are in a similar situation. The Rockets with Chris Paul were in a similar situation a couple of years ago that the Sixers were in last year. The Rockets were a built championship team, and then they ended up trading assets, not being as good. The Sixers were in their best situation last year, and Jimmy was let go. J.J. Redick was let go, and you signed Tobias Harris, and you bring in Furkan Korkmaz, and the way that the Sixers were playing, shifting Ben Simmons to the four, was a similar situation that they were utilizing in the playoffs last year, where you moved Jimmy Butler at times in the half court to the one, and Ben Simmons couldn't be stopped. What am I saying? What I'm saying is 2 years ago, the Rockets had the best opportunity to win, and Chris Paul sat out.
They did. That was their best. That was their best chance. It was.
That was their best chance, and it seems like they regressed. And I'll be honest with you, if the Rockets don't do what they're supposed to do,
they're going to clear house.
They're going to see more. No, like I reported last night that, you know, the New Orleans Pelicans are watching the Rockets situation. And if the Rock, you know, the Rockets didn't want to give Mike D'Antoni that extension, they got rid of his coaching staff, a lot of that assistant coaching staff. And not only will Mike D'Antoni be gone, it's possible that their GM could be gone because they've been looking for an excuse to get rid of him after that whole China situation.
Yeah. Okay. I definitely see that.
I feel like this is the Rockets' last leg. And what happens? Russell Westbrook is hurt. This is their last leg.
It's bad. Yeah. It is bad for them right now.
And to be honest with you, even if they – this is just me talking, nothing I've heard. Even if they win in the first round, I think anything short of conference finals
– somebody getting clipped.
Yeah. Your center is PJ Tucker. Clint Capella, I think, is in a better situation than Atlanta, though.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
My next question was going to be, do you think
– we here today, Pastor Troy.
Yeah. That was my next question. Do you think that the small ball is going to help the Rockets in any way, shape, or form, especially when you talk about going up against a team like the Lakers, when you talk about going up against a team potentially like the Clippers? Will that small ball work for them?
This is going to sound vulgar, but this is the only way I can compare it. You ready?
Yeah.
So, you know how when you was younger, it was a song I heard. I don't remember what rap song it is, but it's like everybody lying about sex. Everybody's doing it. I can't remember what song it was. Mm-hmm. So, like with basketball, you talk about small ball. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's playing small ball. How does that give them an advantage? To be honest with you, the fact that there are teams who have big men who actually pound is the advantage.
Because I look, when you look at a team like the Blazers, they have Whiteside, they have Nurkic
too.
When you look at the Lakers, they have AD, they have JaVale, they have Dwight.
With Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I feel like, but even with that big man conversation, Joel Embiid is really a power forward. Like, I remember people on Twitter were mad because I said Embiid was a power forward. They're like, oh, Scoop, Embiid is a center.
Yeah.
Okay.
He shoots too many threes for me.
To me, Anthony Davis, people say he's a center. He's a power forward. People got mad when I said that Giannis was a three. He is a three.
He is a three.
But I'm considered old school in that way of thinking, because even when you look at somebody like Dirk Nowitzki, back then he started out as a three. He ended up shifting to four. You look at Kevin Garnett, further in his career, he shifted to the five. Mm-hmm. I just think that we just play we're in a world of positionless basketball.
Yeah, don't know what That's to correct. Call anybody. We just throwing titles.
Man, I remember
like a point forward and point center. Like, what is that? What is that?
Point forward has always been a thing. When you look at Scottie Pippen was considered a point forward within the Chicago Bulls' system. You look at Jamal Mashburn, Harlem Mashburn. He was considered a point forward. You look at Anthony Mason during his time with the Knicks. Pat Riley. Austin had, if you look at old tape of the Knicks in the 90s, Austin
he'd be bringing the ball up.
Bringing the ball up in this year in offense. When you look at that 1 year, that was Anthony Mason's, God rest the dead, Anthony Mason, when you look at that 1 year he played in Miami, his all-star year, him and Tim Hardaway would often split, you know, point guard duty. So that point forward thing is nothing new. It's just, you know, it's just fodder that people use.
Okay. Also, too, with the way that Damian Lillard really has been playing in the bubble, were you expecting him to play the way he is? And what do you think that they need to do against the Lakers to actually have a shot? Or do they not have a shot?
Yeah, I expected him to play that well. Because when you look at the season at large, I mean, the Blazers started at a disadvantage because the Blazers dealt with injuries at the early part of the season. I remember spending some time with Damian back in September of last year. And he was excited about how well Hassan Whiteside was going to be in Nurkic's absence, Yusuf Nurkic. Basically, when Lillard was hurt, player of the month, up, and Memphis was surging. Memphis was the placeholder for Portland while Portland got it together, if you really think about it. And I think I have room to speak on that, because when you look at the Memphis Grizzlies in the month of January is what did them in. They were horrible. Okay. All-Star game hits, a month later, COVID hits, and now you got a rested Portland Trail Blazers team. I'll be honest with you. If Trevor Ariza had decided to play with the Blazers instead of using his time to spend time with his son, and I think it's a lot of uncertainty. If you remember at the beginning of COVID when players decided they weren't coming, Trevor Ariza was one of the first people
to say he wasn't coming.
And I feel like defensively, Trevor Ariza was brought in to stop the Lakers because they knew they'd be an eighth seed. COVID was a blessing in disguise for them because it gave them time to rest. And so I don't like to use blessing in disguise because a lot of people lost their lives. So I want to be sensitive to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that when you look at just what COVID did as far as extending the season to the summertime, it allowed Yusuf Nurkic to rest his bones. It allowed Lillard and CJ McCollum to rest their bodies as well. And Carmelo Anthony to become skinny mellow. And at the same time, shift in the position of the three. I think at the end of the day, when you look at the Blazers are where they were supposed to be all along. It just took a lot of extra heavy lifting because of the beginning of the season and the fact that they weren't able to really get hot. Man's not hot at the beginning of the season.
Facts.
In a situation now where they're where they were supposed to be all along. As far as how they match up against the Lakers, you know, that playing game against the Memphis Grizzlies, I was very intrigued about how Valanciunas of the Memphis Grizzlies was going to match up against Yusuf Nurkic. And I like that matchup. I have that same interest and intrigue as it relates to the Lakers is Anthony Davis and Yusuf Nurkic. Both big men by position on their respective teams. I think that's going to play out. I think that the point guard position, I think Damian Lillard has the advantage over the Lakers in that regard. I think when you look at the Los Angeles Lakers, you know that the Lakers benefit from LeBron James being on the court. I think that's predicated on every team that LeBron James plays on. The sun rises, it sets, and shines on him. And he's got to be healthy. He's got to be sharp. And I want to see Kyle Kuzma step it up. It's a great deal.
So a team like Portland not having, you know, Trevor Ariza and obviously knowing what Damian Lillard can bring offensively, what do you need to see out of guys like Carmelo, like CJ McCollum, guys like Gary Trent Jr.? What do you need to see out of guys like those that's going to make you confident enough to think that they'll be able to go up against a team like the Lakers and or beat them?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I felt that Portland's Trailblazers' bench could match up with the Lakers. And to be honest with you, at points during the bubble, I was unimpressed with the Lakers' bench. As much as they have names, I have seen the last couple games, I was a little concerned about Deion Waiters. I was a little concerned about –
he loved to shoot, man. He loved to shoot.
Yeah. He makes risky passes as well. Yeah. And I think come playoff time, it's a different game. You know, as you know, I was one of the – I was one of, you know, J.R. Smith's signing with the Los Angeles Lakers as far back as January. And, you know, I think he has playoff experience. I look to see him go to another level and step up in that regard. I look at Danny Green. You know, Danny Green is a guy that has multiple championships, knows what it means to be an NBA champion, having won a ring last year with the Toronto Raptors and winning with the San Antonio Spurs. I think he has to step up in the playoffs and at times during the regular season has struggled. And I think one of my most memorable games that I've watched Danny Green play was the first game of the season against the Clippers. When he averaged he put up, I think, 28 points in a game. So I think, you know, you're not going to see him put up 28 points every game, but, you know, Danny Green has to step up and against the Blazers and put up premium shots. It can't just be LeBron and AD because I think that one of the things that COVID exposed was how common they are without LeBron because a lot of times a lot of teams were able to sit and watch tape. And in the bubble, I think Toronto exposed them a bit. But I also think that the Lakers exposed the Clippers.
Oh, you know, that always happens.
Here you go.
I'm just saying.
I think with the Clippers, if they have Montrezl Harrell, if they have Lou Williams, if they have those guys to be able to be pivotal off the bench on top of what you can get out of Kawhi, Paul George, mm-hmm. I think and I saw Zubac. That's someone you have to watch out for. I've seen him. He's been coming into a groove at the big man position and being able to do things offensively and defensively. So we'll see about the Lakers and Clippers as far as that. But as far as the matchup with the Blazers and the Lakers, I do agree with you. I think that the bench for the Lakers are going to have to be superb, especially when you look on the other end and see how well Portland's team has been. So me and Rob have been joking around about the different Mellos that everyone names. And I heard you mention Skinny Melo earlier. But which Melo do you think the Blazers will need for them to get somewhere in this playoff push?
The Melo that's going to win a championship. The Melo, the Melo that you saw in Denver. And I'll say this to you. I feel like as much as I said that Carmelo Anthony may not be a superstar, one of the reasons why I think it wasn't shadowed in that way is because Tim Duncan and the Spurs and Kobe Bryant and the Lakers
had a killing
about that, you know. So I think the Melo that you need to see is the player that Amari Stoudemire wishes he could be. Because when you look at Melo and you look at Amari Stoudemire, the commonality that they both have is they were two of the best high school basketball players in the country, but LeBron found a way to win and win multiple championships. And the thing that will complete Melo as a player is, okay, you've got multiple Olympic gold medals. You've scored a ton of points. But now it's time to cement your career. I feel like Melo was at a point similarly that Jason Kidd was towards the end of his career in Dallas, where he got a ring. Melo cements his career with a ring. No matter if he played with Lillard or not, a ring is a ring. People forget that Sam Cassell won two championships. Well, people probably remember, rather, that he won two championships.
Sam Cassell was a baller.
As a member of the Houston Rockets. But I forgot that he won a championship with the Boston Celtics. He has three championships. Not
he two. Did. He was there. Oh, wait. I think I was like, oh, wait.
I read that the other was day. There. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
He stuck in there.
He was there. That's true. Oh, man. All right, man, Scuba, we appreciate you for tuning in with us, man. Rob Bruin, T-Rose, the illustrious Scoop being in the building, man, and we really appreciate you for being here with us, man.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. Y'all keep doing your thing.
Absolutely, it's a pleasure to have you, man. It's a pleasure to have you. Continue to keep working and doing what you do. We support the movement, man. It's a pleasure to have you.
Absolutely.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All
right, brother. So, Troy, check this out. Hersey Miller, Master P's son, entrepreneur, and rapper. He's a senior. He's a rising senior, 6'3", 190 pounds. He's a 5-star recruit. He's shifty. He has letters from LSU, Missouri, Morgan State, UCLA, and USC. When I looked at his tapes, I was actually surprised because, for me, he was under the radar for a little bit. Didn't really hear too much about him. And then now it seems like he's making a lot of noise too, especially with him playing alongside the big Chet as well too. What's your take on Hersey?
Well, I'm not gonna lie, my brother. I'm not really surprised when you look at his family. When you talk about his father, when you talk about his brother, he comes from a family of athletes. I know his father has done so many other successful things as far as music and movies and being an entrepreneur.
But he got that ball of DNA in him.
But his dad, Master P, did play in the NBA, if I'm not mistaken. He did get a couple tryouts and did play in a few games. And you look at his brother, Romeo Miller.
He did play at USC with DeMar DeRozan.
He played at USC, was an athlete. But I think for Hersey, it makes it even more – I put a little bit more eyes on him because this is what he wants to do. You know, for them, those for Master P and for Romeo, those were – basketball was an after thing. And I think when you give him the 6'3 ability, 190-pound, and then you put a ball in his hand and really focus on that and make that his goal, I'm not surprised. And, you know, he is a talented kid, and we saw him move up to be a 5-star recruit. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this kid has to bring to the court. But again, I'm not surprised. It's in his blood. But when you see him putting in the time, the energy, and the effort, and then I follow his father on social media, I check his page out. So I see his father working with him constantly, getting it in, whether it be the garage or whether it be the backyard due to quarantine or being in the gym when everything's back to normal. It doesn't surprise me at all. And I'm looking forward to seeing what this kid can do.
Absolutely. I can't agree anymore. And just to make a quick correction,
I believe he is a 3-star recruit. My three-star bad. Recruit. I'll double. Okay. Yeah, I believe it's a 3. It's a 3 or 4-star. Just to be clear. But yeah, I'm excited to see what he's gonna do. He has some good options on the table, and yeah, hopefully he shakes it up, man. It'll good to. He has an other brother as well. You know what I mean? So it's gonna be good to see what the Miller family does for basketball. Hopefully, you know, they shake that up for us. Mm-hmm. Now, we all been, me and you, everyone knows that we've been following Bronny James real closely, and ESPN put their rankings out for the class of 2023. Bronny is ranked 24th in his class, and he's ranked 4th when it comes to point guards in his class. Is he ranked too high, or are you surprised by that?
I think he's fitting where it's due. I think that when you look at last year and how everything was as far as quarantine, but then when you look back even a little further, and me and you've talked about this, you know, Bronny wasn't a starter on the team. He wasn't necessarily a star. He had highlight moments, but I think now going into, you know, a new year and him probably looking at getting more minutes, more productivity, and obviously he's grown, his game has developed. I think he sits where he needs to be now from here on, being ranked 24th. I think now it's time for him to kind of get it cranking, get it going a little bit, starting to put up a little bit more points. Hopefully coach giving him a little bit more minutes, facilitate, be a little bit more aggressive. So I'm not surprised as to where he sits, but where he makes me look at him with a little bit more of an edge and say, I need to see more out of you, because you're LeBron James' son. I need to see you higher than that. You know what I mean? But he is young, and time does prevail. So give it a little time and see what he can do. But I'm sure he'll be able to move up in the rankings.
I do feel like I'm a little surprised that he's ranked 4th point guard in his class. I thought he would have been ranked a little bit lower because of, like, his production. Like, he had a solid year, but it wasn't the best. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like you, I am very excited to see what more he does do. But he did have a decent year for his team. So, with him being LeBron James Jr.'s son, like you just said, we're all just excited just to see what he'll do just because of his name and what he brings to the table. But I'm very surprised by the way he can shoot. He has a very good coordination, and I'm not going front. Like, I really do want to see where he's going to go. I hope he doesn't end up going up to Duke, though, bro. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, it's, you know, 2023 literally it's so far away to me. So it's like, we don't know. I can't. I think when you look at his options and what he can potentially get, I think Duke isn't a bad school to go to.
Nah, not at all. It's not a bad school.
You know, it's not a bad school, but 2023 is so far away. So we just need to see what he can do to continue to better his game. And hopefully he will be able to land at one of these big schools, if not an HBCU.
Mm-hmm. Now, the 5-star recruit, Kennedy Chandler, he's ranked number 1 in his class amongst the class of 2021. This young guard committed to Tennessee over Memphis, Duke, UNC, and Kentucky. I mean, he's a baller. He's going to be playing alongside Jaden Springer, which is another 5-star recruit as well, 6'5 guard, and he's balling and he's ready to go. Tennessee is starting to pull him in. And Tennessee looks like they're going to shake it up next year a little bit. They're trying to do something in their space. And I'm very excited to see what Kennedy Chandler is going to do. One of my favorite highlights of him is when I think it was the AAU tournament, he pickpocketed Jalen Green, stole it from him real quick, and then threw it. So it's good to see he's very bouncy, shifty, he can shoot the three very well, and he gets his teammates involved. So hyped to see the number one guard in that class really doing their thing.
Likewise, I'm very excited to see. I'm a little hurt because when you look down at the list, and I know you named a few schools that he overlooked, but he definitely overlooked Syracuse. You know, I would have loved it.
Easily.
And me just moving back to these stumping grounds.
You want to see something good.
Yeah, that would have been so refreshing to just, you know, have him on campus and potentially be able to suit up for the Orange. But him committing to Tennessee, I think that's a good move, and I'm excited to see what this kid can do. He can shoot the ball fluently, could be a little bit explosive, bouncy at times. I think that his size, as far as his weight goes, being 160, I'm looking for him to kind of develop and put a little bit more muscle mass on as things progress. But as we as we look forward to college and him committing to Tennessee, I think this is a good pick for the university, and I'm excited to see what this kid's going to bring to the table.
Now, Troy, last time I checked, you know, I did a little bit of digging, did some research, and we're hearing on the market now that you got Jaden Agan. That's gonna be committing to the big green Michigan State. Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, y'all get another one, man. How you feeling?
I'm excited. You know, Jaden Akins, he's a local kid, Farmington High. You know, he's from Farmington. So I think to be able to get that hometown or that home state energy from Jaden Akins, I think that's going to be big for MSU. And as you've seen over the guys they've been able to get, you know, Imani Bates, now getting Akins, I think that it's going to be a tremendous move up there in East Lansing. But we have to, when you hear these commits, it sounds so amazing. But then in the back of my mind, I have to always consider the pandemic, the coronavirus. And now it's a matter of time of when I'll get a chance to see these kids play. You know what I mean? So I think it's great to hear them, you know, committing and participating at these universities. But now I'm looking forward to seeing when I'll be able to get a chance to see them play.
Yeah, it's so crazy how this pandemic has shifted everything. Like we've talked, you know, a few episodes back, and this pandemic has really shifted players to commit so early. We have sophomores committing already, you know, which that's not really usually the norm. So, yeah, the basketball landscape is completely shifted right now, man. So we're definitely going to look to see what they do. Yep. So, Troy, tell me what's on your mind, man. What you got going on in there right now?
You know, I got a few things on my mind. I can't lie. And one thing that sticks out to me, it hits home, and I think it's very, very, very well deserved, is I think that 824 has become officially Kobe Bryant Day. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a well deserved, well respected day that, you know, me and many others are in support of. So, you know, being 824 officially being Kobe Bryant Day, I think that was very big, man. Well, what's your thoughts on that?
Man, it's great because, you know, in Orange County, California, obviously, you know, like you just said, it's officially Kobe Bryant Day. The Board of Supervisors in Orange County unanimously voted for it to be a great day. Also, Nike will be starting Mamba Week, which starts on August 23rd, and Nike will be launching a whole bunch of different types of limited gear for Kobe as well. I see some real dope sneakers that Undefeated is going to be released. It's like a white pair with a gold swoosh and another black pair as well. But this is needed. You know, Kobe Bryant was a huge part of the basketball culture. And I mean, I'll be the one to say it. I think a lot of people fell in love with who Kobe was off the court after he passed away. It was just tragic how he passed away with those other people, including his daughter, in that helicopter crash. But Kobe earned that. I'm surprised he didn't have a Kobe Day early in that, to be honest with you. It's just great to have, and it's something that we needed. And I think that this really teaches us to give people that matter to us. We have to give them their flowers while they're here, just like we had Scoop B here earlier. It should be a Scoop B Day some point in time because he puts on for the culture. We don't want to talk about him when, you know, he's a memory. You got to be able to show somebody some love while they're here. So, that's well deserved by Kobe.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is well deserved and well respected from the great late Kobe Bryant. And I'm just, like you say, it's unfortunate that where we don't have him, but I think that it's so important that we still can have days like this to honor and recognize what he's done for not just the sport of basketball, but for the culture of our people and how he's willing to, you know, do everything that he could and stand on what he said. And I think that that's a well-deserved honor for Kobe Bryant on 824.
When you think back on Kobe Bryant just for a moment, what's one of your favorite memories that you have of Kobe?
Don't make me do this.
You can do what you want. You can do what you want.
Don't put me in this position, man. Listen, because, you know, I have your world.
I'm just living in it.
I have an amazing uncle, you know, who's like a father figure and a mentor to me. And I see him catch so much scrutiny. I see him catch so many jokes, memes.
Catching that heat.
But to answer your question, man, my favorite memory would have to be the 81-point game of Kobe Bryant. And to watch him not just put a beat down on my uncle, but to put down on a beat down on the whole team. But to see the manner in which he carried himself throughout that game, the way that he still stayed focused, didn't let the game or the emotions or the crowd change his demeanor or his mentality towards the game, I think that that's one of the most magnificent memories that I have of Kobe. On top of when you talk about his last game scoring the 60 points against the Utah Jazz, I think when you look at those two games and the games he used to have in the Garden against the Knicks, you know, the terrific run that he had with the Lakers and Shaq, I mean, there's so many that you can name when you talk about someone like Kobe Bryant, but, you know, one that comes to mind off tops is definitely the 81-point game.
It's all good, man. Uncle Jay had to catch that work, bro. It happens. When you lace him up, it just happened to be him in front of Kobe that night. It could have been anybody.
Well, and of course, I've asked this question plenty of times, and the one key thing that I've always taken away with what my uncle has said in that game was, I mean, Kobe Bryant is one of the best basketball players of all time.
Yeah, so I mean, I didn't just get cooked by anybody.
So I didn't like he said, now Smush Parker would have went out there and gave us 81.
That's different.
I probably would have felt some type of way, but when we talk about Kobe Bryant arguably being one of the greatest basketball players of all time, is it absolutely surprising that he can go out there and do that?
No.
You know? So I think I had to always take heed to that, because when you talk about Kobe Bryant, he is one of the best, and he will definitely, most definitely be missed.
My favorite memory of Kobe being Bryant was, I'm a Celtics fan, so Celtics beat him in 08. Then when Kobe came back the following year, the way that he beat on the Celtics was different. Like, his laser vision, his focus, it wasn't high scoring like how the games are now. That was a very physical series. But I always respected how focused and how bad he wanted that series, that championship. And you could see the hurt in him if you look back and you watch the video. Kobe had tears in his eyes when he lost to the Celtics that year. And just to see him come back, focus, rally all his teammates together, because, you know, a lot of people said Kobe was selfish, he couldn't do it without Shaq. And the fact that he got that one done, I believe that's the first one he got without Shaq. And then they went on to beat the Magic after that, I believe. So, yeah, I seen it on ESPN a few weeks ago. And just to see him locked in like that, like when Kobe locked in and he started doing that thing with his jaw, it was like, you know, he was locked in. That's the man that you
got. Get to chewing his gum like MJ. You
yeah,
know,
chewing the jersey. And it's, you know, when if Kobe Bryant is on the court, is a chance that you won't win the game. And I don't care how much you guys are up by. Like, he will literally do it by himself if he have to. So hats off to Kobe. He's definitely dearly missed. And I'm going to celebrate Kobe Bryant Day with Cali on that one, because it's definitely deserving.
1,000%.
Now, Jay-Z goes and partners up with LIU Brooklyn, the school, and they have a Roc Nation program now. It's going to be opening up in fall of 2020. It's a Roc Nation program for sports management, entertainment, so many things within the arts. And I think that this is a great thing for New York City as well, because Jay-Z just continues to move beyond music. You know what I'm saying? He has a lecture series with Columbia University. And this right here, I think, program that's going to be opening up, the Roc Nation program with LIU Brooklyn. Obviously, everyone knows he's from Brooklyn as well. It's going to be great because they're just helping within the arts. Jay-Z has so many things within, like, the Roc Nation label. He's extended that just from music into now sports. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be great to see what the type of students that come through that. They're going to make sure that they get guaranteed internships. It's just going to be a pleasure to watch the students within New York City and outside New York City just be able to benefit from that as well.
Yeah, I think that is good. And as Jay-Z said himself, you know, I'm not a businessman. I'm a business man. And he always seems to prove that. And I think that it's good now to see him put his hand in with the youth and see what he can do now to help the youth. We've seen him, you know, start, you know, record labels. We've seen him start sports agencies. But I think now to develop something that's going to help benefit the youth of his hometown, Brooklyn, I think that's tremendous. And it only just adds to the long list of things that Jay-Z continues to do to help his people, to help the culture, and to continue to be a true testament of what it is to be a leader. So I think that is tremendous to see what Jay-Z's doing and his partnership with LIU. And I'm looking forward to see how big it is and how helpful it is to the young kids who participate.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. Now, your boy Justin Fields is getting busy over there in the Big Ten, man. What does he have cooking up right now?
You know, big respect to Justin Fields. You know, what I'm wearing right now, I typically shouldn't even be speaking his name, you know, mm-hmm. But, you know, if y'all don't know, I do have the Michigan State hoodie on. But what Justin Fields is trying to do is he's trying to get the Big Ten to reinstate the season. And I think that
they got over 200,000 signatures right now.
You know,
that's a lot of signatures.
And one thing that he said that made a lot of sense to me was he thinks that we're actually, if not him or the players, the team, the staff, we're actually safer if we choose to have a season. And the example he used is when you put a bubble-like situation for these college athletes and they're getting the proper testing, they're staying within their range and within their limits and not interacting with outside people. I think that does create a safer environment for these students when you talk about going forward with a season. Now, to not have a season, it is a little bit more of a risk because now you have to worry about what these young athletes are doing, who they're interacting with. The same premise that you say when you talk about students coming back to campus, interacting with students, interacting with teachers. I think that that does become a bigger risk when you talk about not having a season. But when you talk about creating a bubble-like scenario for college athletes, in particular the Big Ten, I think you have to also question, are these young athletes going to be disciplined enough to go through with everything? Are we going to be able to trust these young football players to not sneak out, to not sneak people in?
Who got caught sneaking that girl in there?
You know, you see it in the NFL right now. So if you can see guys who get paid millions of dollars to do what they do,
the guys still that risk are doing it for free are still going to do it. They're going to do it. And they're younger.
Exactly. So I think it's tremendous what he's doing, and I think he makes some valid points, but I think it's always going to be a big question mark when you talk about people's health, when you talk about people's livelihood. I think that we're just going to have to see how it plays out, but I think it's tremendous for him to step up and do what he needs to do to potentially get the Big Ten season reinstated.
Justin Fields, I think what he's doing is tremendous. I think that the football GMs need to pay attention because that's the type of player you want on your team, somebody that can advocate for themselves and the organization. I think that that's very important that they take heed to that. It's just tough within football. That's a heavily contacted sport, right? So they're like, it's body on body. Like, basketball is contact, but like, they're not literally jumping on each other. They're breathing on each other. They're face to face. Like, that's just a part of their game. So it's going to be harder for them to stay clean, stay safe. You know, because of how close they are, and I've heard some people say, well, you know, they can clean the pads off, and it just really takes a lot less error for things to be wrong for them. So I think what he's doing is, it's sensational, but it's a tough task, you know, and being that a lot of these athletes are so young, the people that are in higher places feel like they need to make the decision for them because they have more experience. Even though it may not be playing, they know how to run an organization. And the world really hasn't really came into contact with anything, at least that me and you have seen in our time. So I think it's admirable, but he just, it's going to be a tough one for him to win, I think.
I agree. It's going to be tough. But again, I think he makes some valid points. So, and he's got a lot of people to rally behind him. I think you said over 200,000 people that have been able to sign. So, you know, who knows what could happen. But I think his leadership, you definitely have to come in, and hopefully we'll be able to see if it works.
It's true. You got anything else on your mind, man?
I mean, let me squeeze one more thing in there because we were talking about the Millers. We were talking about, you know, Hershey. We were talking about Master P. Mm-hmm. But I want to bring up how Master P.
Yeah, Scoop B broke looking, that story too.
Yeah, shout out Scoop B. Master P's looking to buy the Pelicans.
Crazy.
Yes.
And he said he wants no part unless he has a heavy say so in it.
That's how it should be.
That's how it should be. If he's the owner, his voice should matter. If they're not going to give that man what he wants, I don't think he wants any parts.
It's trendsetting. And, you know, him being a black businessman, of course, there's going to be some people who are going to tell you you can't, you won't, it won't happen for you. But I think him making that push and continue to try to make that happen, I think that's big, especially when you look at people like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. We just saw him buy the XFL. So for someone like Master P, who's done what he's done for the hip-hop community, what he's done as far as acting, being an entrepreneur, like I said earlier, I think that there's no way that these people can't be business owners and team owners. So I think that it's important to take note on that, and hopefully we'll be able to see P make that happen because, as you see, when he sets out to do it, he does it. He's going to get it done. He's one of the best entrepreneurs that we've seen ever. So I think to see him set his mind on that, I wouldn't be surprised if this comes into fruition.
I want to see that alongside with you, brother. That'd be great. Before we get out of here, guys, we want to give a huge birthday shout out today to the late Marcus Garvey and to our late great Nipsey Hussle that passed away a few years ago now. His birthday was yesterday. So shout out to Lauren London and the family and everyone that's, you know, been supporting them. We're huge fans and support of them as well too.
Nah, and I'm about to say, man, we definitely miss guys like Nipsey. You know what I mean? What he did for the culture, what he did for music. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important. You know what I mean? And I know time goes by so fast, but that was just last year. Can you believe it? That was just last year. You know,
it's not 2 years now.
No, that happened when I came to visit. That I was in Syracuse in the hotel.
Right.
My visit out here. No, that was last year.
So that was last year, what, May? April? April.
Yeah, that was April 2019.
Damn, I said a few years, too. I felt like it was at least 2 years.
Nah, man, that was just a little bit over a year ago.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's just scary. So much has happened since then. So much has happened. So I think we tend to lose things in translation, but definitely want to pay our respects to those guys.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you guys for tuning in. Sorry for the delay, guys, but we are back in full effect, live and direct from Long Island and Syracuse, New York. We always love the fact that you guys choose to believe in us and believe in this podcast network. So you guys stay tuned, stay close. Any questions, comments, or concerns that you guys have, don't hesitate at all to hit Troy on the gram or hit me on my gram as well. And we appreciate y'all for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.